Hello. Welcome to our CMD Bite Size series. In these podcasts, we will be exploring a range of ministry and theological issues. Today I'm joined by Bishop Hugh Nelson, the Bishop of St Germans, and Becky Lines, the Children and Families Lead for Camborne Cluster. We're going to be talking about the new plans for engaging with children and young people in churches across the diocese. So in a nutshell, can you explain the concept behind Growing Younger?
Yes, thank you. Well, we talk a lot when we're talking about growing younger about three numbers, about the numbers 2, 3, and 5. 2 stands for two objectives, so two things that we're really committed to in this work. Those are that we want every child and young person who lives in the Diocese of Cornwall, in Cornwall, to have access to a community in which they can meet in Jesus' name, they can be at home, and they can explore the possibility of God. So everyone with access, every child with an access to a community. And second, to a tenfold increase in the number of young disciples across Cornwall. So that's the two. The three is we want to do that many, for some, and for few, which means for many means for everyone involved with anything to do with the church or school life is invited to join in. Some means that we want to do some quite focused work, particularly in schools, actually. And the few is we're going to do a few things in a small number of places where we want to reach lots and lots and lots of children. That's the three. The most important, though, are the five. And the five are like kind of five foundations, or perhaps like the writing that runs through a stick of rock. So everything that we do, wherever it is that's to do with growing younger, we want it to be about intergenerational community. So people of all ages, children, yes, and adults joining in. We want it to have children and young people's voices at its heart, so that we don't do a thing and then ask the kids afterwards if they enjoyed it, but that we invite children to really be part of creating what we do. That there's a deliberate connection between church, between school, and between home, because those are the three spaces where children might spend time. That at the heart of this all is faith. This isn't activities for children. This is inviting children to explore the possibility of God, to learn how to pray, to open up the scriptures, to become followers of Jesus Christ. And finally, that we know this can't just be for some people who are really good at this to do off there somewhere. This has got to be collaborative, that we want the leadership of this to be collaborative. So 2, 3, 5. And if you only want to look into one of those, look into the five, because they're the foundations of everything that we're going to do.
OK, so remember the stick of rock with the writing through the middle of it is the
exactly
message. Yeah. OK, so one of the most recent focuses that has incorporated work with young people has been transforming mission. Becky, you've been integral to the Camborne version of this. Are there areas from that work that have informed the Growing Younger, or pieces of work that have come out of that you'd like to share?
Yeah, well, I very much hope so. It's nice to think that actually what we've done does fit in really well. Just looking at those five foundations, I'm really thinking about that. I think we have done that, but it's taken time. I think one of the really important things to remember is, you know, we were initially only commissioned for 3 years, and we've been going now for much longer, and we hope to keep going for much longer, because you need it. You need much longer to actually get going with any of this stuff. But we've done so many different things. We've tried so many things, and I think that's something we've done that, and we've sort of tested the water, and we've tried things that we can then say to people, actually, you know, this doesn't work, or that doesn't work, or perhaps this is worth pursuing. So I think when I'm looking at those five foundations, and I'm really thinking, you know, the first thing was that, you know, really hearing the children and young people, making them really integral to everything, that actually their voice was really important, because so many people say what they think they want. Mm-hmm. And lots of the older people would say, you know, we want a Sunday school. Is that really what the young people are going to come on board with? You know, are we listening to them? If they've had no home background that's had anything to do with church, how are they able to articulate that they want church? You know, so you've got to actually show them what it is. So I think that getting into schools was really important. We've done a lot of that, you know, right from primary, nursery, through to the senior schools. It's getting to work alongside those young children so that we can listen to them and we can see how they fit in. So one of the things, you know, I think we've talked before about the fact that we've done this thing called tea time, and lots of churches do, you know, when you invite people in after school, but it's a chance to really get to know them. It's a chance to really, and we get to know a lot of young people but then to actually turn this into, are they becoming part of a worshipping community, we've had to take that one step further. Mm. We've done work that started off as holiday clubs and has become proper church clubs. So those are quite important. The intergenerational stuff, I think our work with Wild Church really works well with that. We really allow people from every age. And when we've taken them on pilgrimages, we've done different things. You know, yesterday I had 2-year-olds with 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, in fact. Yeah, they were long older. One of them's just had a birthday. So, you know, they are all together and they're all together worshipping and all learning from each other. So that's fantastic. So, you know, we've done so many different things. The intentional faith formation, obviously, we set out as Transforming Mission. The idea was you will set up worshipping communities, new styles of worshipping community. We've tried that. Some of them have worked, some of them haven't. It's the bringing in and the working together. So I think, you know, Transforming Mission really has been really key to laying the foundation stones, but that's all it's done. It's laid those foundation stones that we're now ready to grow from and do more with.
Yeah, and that sounds very much like the idea of proclaiming the gospel afresh for every generation, and that actually you need to understand how you communicate that to every generation and how you keep different generations on board with that. So that's really interesting. Thank you for sharing those examples. Is there anything that has not worked so well that we've kind of set out within Transforming Mission and we've learned from that and thought actually we're going to change this in the future?
I think Becky's just mentioned one of the key things that we've learned from Transforming Mission, which is you're much better doing something slow and over a period, long period of time, than you are going kind of hard and fast at something for a short period of time. And so what we're saying for this is we recognise this is a huge challenge and opportunity for us, but it's going to take time. So we those two objectives I mentioned, we don't expect to see anything like those coming about for 10 years. 10 years may be long enough for us to have invested time and prayer and love and learning to actually be able to make the kind of change that we want. So that's been one absolutely critical bit of learning.
Yeah, okay. And I'd say the getting to know the churches really well. I think we came in as Transforming Mission, you know, ever so excited that we'd be able to start something. But actually what's worked is stepping back and getting to know each church. We're working with 5 churches. They're all so individual and they want their character to go forward. You know, that's really important to them, that everything they've done, every foundation they've laid, actually they want to build on that. You know, they don't want to just say, you're coming in and giving me something new. Mm. Yeah. I think really important, because otherwise those generations won't work with us. Mm. We won't be going together.
Yeah. Okay. Also, we've had the Flourish pilots recently that have been the kind of an intentional blueprint for some of these models. I think they've worked across Bodmin, Cambourne and St Austell in terms of children and youth's work. Can you tell me a bit about those?
I can tell you a bit about the Cambourne one, obviously, because colleagues of mine are working with them. So the schools put out so that teachers would get extra points to work with the Flourish project. So it's a teacher that's already in the school is then given extra time to work with them. So they've got an after school and a lunchtime group. So it's led by a teacher and then someone from the church with them. And they're inviting children in to learn more, to become their own worshipping community within the school, which is really exciting, isn't it? So it's not just Christian Union, it's not just a club where you just come, it is where you're actually coming to learn more, and really especially for those children who've never had a faith background as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And maybe I can just set out the kind of bigger picture for it. So it's part of a national, well, I suppose kind of experiment, isn't it? I mean, let's try something out nationally, and we're one of the relatively small number of dioceses that said, yeah, we'd like to do that with you. And as Becky described in Campbell, and the aim is to start worshipping communities, kind of churches, I suppose, in a way, with children and staff as well, if they want to be part of it, but within school, because we can do beautiful things in our churches, and we do beautiful things in our churches that encourage children to join us, but I think we all recognise that many children just simply will never join us because the cultural gap is so big. Mm-hmm. And so we need to go and join them. And so why not try and start something that looks like church with prayer and worship teaching and the things that we do in church, why not do that in a school? And so that's what Flourish is aiming to do. And we're still in year one, I think, of those three projects.
Excellent. And we're hearing lots in the news as well, aren't we, about children kind of looking for some sort of something more, something spiritual, some sort of rhythm. And some of the Quiet Revival stuff has been based around that. So it sounds like kind of attending to that so that you're there in place when people are looking for it, even if they're not sure what it is they're looking for.
Exactly.
I think it leads on really well because we do a lot of work with the younger children and you're going in and doing collective worship and assemblies and you know, they get really enthused. And I've always felt that it tails off.
Yeah.
You know, in infant school, they're very, very engaged. Yeah. And they're all openly talking about how much they love Jesus. You know, I have to go through the door and the answer's Jesus, Becky. You know, but we go into the junior school and, again, you become a little bit distant because you're standing up the front and delivering,
yeah.
You know, rather than gathering around with the children. And then each time, they don't suddenly, having gone to senior school, they don't suddenly think, well, I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
Because they were enjoying it
yeah.
the week before.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that Flourish is really important for that, actually embedding it in the school and giving them that chance.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really important, Becky. I think there's the risk with that is that we communicate without meaning it. We communicate to children that faith is a childish thing.
Yeah.
Not childlike, because we're meant to be childlike, but it's childish. Yeah. It's for when you were a baby and you did stuff, you know, with Absolutely. When you were small. And actually, of course, our faith needs to grow, and so we need to attend to those transition points, don't we, where primary school moves into secondary school and where secondary school then moves on to work or university or training or whatever it might be. We haven't done that well. So part of the work of growing younger very deliberately will be to invest in those transition points. Faith is for every age, not just for children.
Yeah, and I think somebody very wise once said that when they were working with teenagers, often the focus was on actually getting them to fight for something, so that if they're kind of going through a bit of a rebellious stage, actually it might be fighting for social justice in some way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a key tenet of our faith as well.
Yeah.
So to engage young people at that level is a really positive opportunity, and there's so much chance to do that in the diocese with climate change, all of the work around that, also with the stuff around social justice and food banks and things. So it sounds like there's some great opportunities to kind of keep those senior school levels engaged with faith in some way and make it meaningful.
So talking
about the diocese, which is rural, in fact lots of our parishes are now termed deep rural, and children and youth work in those places can often look different to bigger towns and cities. Probably one of the obvious things is that the numbers can be really small, and that can be really challenging for communities if they don't have many young people and they feel like the church is kind of dying off. How does Growing Younger seek to attend this when some of the numbers in those rural communities will be very small?
Well, I think we've sort of got, quite a good example, because obviously the churches we work at are varied, but one of our particular churches at Pen Ponds is a very small community, you know, a very... it's not even a village, doesn't have a shop, you know, it's a very small community, but it does have a school, which is sort of just 90 plus children at the school. And then the church is sort of tucked away at the other end of the village. And when I first met them, that church was really worried. You know, they said, you know, we are disappearing. We're just, nobody sees us. We're at the end of the village. Nobody passes us because it's not on the way to anywhere. And nobody knows we're here. We don't have anything. So they didn't know where they were going to go with this, and they wanted children at their church. So through the relationship with the school and through really talking to them about, you know, what is your church, you know, and it is a high church. It's a church that prides itself on that it's important to them to keep that tradition. We've grown an after school group on a Thursday, which is absolutely fantastic. It's fantastic because the children come running in and it's like, who gets to light the candle this week? You know, who gets to stand up in the pulpit and read the prayer? You know, can we answer the questions about the Bible story? You know, it's become church for them. And the huge majority of these children have never been to church before. They may have come, I know some of them, because obviously my grandson and the churchwarden's grandson, they've been baptised in the church, but actually they weren't brought to church services by their parents. Their parents don't go to the church. So this has grown. Mm-hmm. So rural communities can create something if they really know their vision. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really key with them, that church knew their vision. They knew what they wanted to get. And, you know, instead of sitting back and saying, oh, dear, you know, poor us, nobody comes to us, so we want them just on a Sunday morning, and, oh, dear, and getting cross about it, they were very positively praying about what can we do. Mm-hmm. And so they were lovely to work with. And so the children love coming in. And so the atmosphere is fantastic. And it is church, you know. And that's the thing that the church warden very much, he says, this is church. Mm-hmm. He is so excited. This is church. The children are doing all the elements of a church service. You know, we've introduced, you know, the vicar has come in and talked to them about communion. So they understand what that is. We've talked about baptism. They understand what it is. They write their prayers. They say prayers over the food that they share. They, you know, they light, every child lines up to light a candle. It's fantastic to see. So rural churches don't have to think we're small, we're out of the way. Mm. They can really do something.
Yeah, and it's encouraging to hear that they were quite a high church as well, because I think sometimes people have this image when I'm working with different churches that children only want to go to those churches where they're doing really, I don't know, fun things or child-focused things. And actually, part of being at church is some of the liturgy and the traditions that we pass on. It's important that churches don't feel that they've kind of got to throw that all out in order to pass it on to the next generation. That actually some of those things, there are certainly things that are just kind of accumulated through habit, and we need to kind of attend to those. But there's actually lots of rich tradition in what we do that is really important to pass on, and actually people want to engage with that. I think sometimes there's an assumption that people are anti-engaging with it, whereas actually they're often quite open to it.
I think children, perhaps better than adults, one of the things that children have a real kind of instinct for very often is awe, and the sense of wonder in things that are tactile and in our five senses. I mean, children live in that world, don't they? Especially younger children. Yeah. And church traditions that are from the kind of higher church kind of way of doing things, they're high on awe and wonder in the liturgy. And I completely agree with you. I don't think there's any one way which we can engage children in faith and prayer at all, and worship. We're doing lots of different ways. We do have to take account of who it is that's there, and we need to do it in a way that works well for them.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I add one thing just to the rural, and especially the deep rural? Because I think there are actually quite a lot of examples of around the diocese that I can think of churches that have really gone for a vision of ways of engaging with young people. Lots of churches that are doing things, perhaps on Sunday mornings, but more likely at other times. And because rural communities often have quite strong networks, you probably know all the children in your village if it's a small village. So that's a real asset. Where that either feels or really is impossible for churches, there are, you know, just no significant numbers of children, or they've tried everything and it hasn't worked. I think there is still an invitation to every church to be part of this, and those churches could pray, and they can pray that their neighbouring churches that have got the possibility of engaging with young people, that that might flourish. And so I wouldn't want this to be a you either do something amazing with children or you're not involved. This is for everyone in the diocese to be involved with, whether that's through something really practical and involving actual children, or because we believe prayer makes a difference, don't we, by praying.
Mm-hmm. And actually, when I'm working with churches, one of the things I really notice with the rural and the deep rural churches is that the communities feel very engaged with those churches through the rhythm of life. So that kind of rural rhythm of the seasons and the festivals are absolutely integral to those churches and to the people that surround them. And we did a piece of work with a church I was working with the other day, and we asked them to ask people completely outside of the church why church was important and if it was. And they came back and said, well, I don't go, but I definitely think it needs to be there. And if they needed help with something, I would help them because I want it to be there. Mm. And that was just really encouraging for that small community, that even though they felt that they had a small volunteer base, actually sometimes that was about not asking people to do particular practical things, and actually if they did that, they would have that engagement with the local people, and then that opens up opportunities for conversations about faith and just conversations about understanding as well. So
yeah, it does. No, actually, yeah, because we've got Treslothan, which is, you know, we call it our church in the woods, and you know, there's three houses by it, you know, but the community love the place. Mm-hmm. And when we do, you know, we do bat events and things like that, you know, and you do bring in lots of people and you get those conversations, and you're right, you know, they want it to exist, and they do want to engage with the place. We're, you know, it's always very busy at Remembrance, it's busy at Harvest, it's busy, like you say, at those cycles, it's busy at Christmas time, and the school bring their nursery down to do their nativity play, and it's those lovely things where the church is connected to the community.
Yeah. So I've heard it described that growing younger is not a project, and that kind of feels like it resonates well with the things that you've learned from Transforming Mission. So I guess that not being a project means it's less initiative based, more of a long term direction of travel, if you like. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah. A project implies a kind of piece of work that you're going to start, do, and then finish. And we're not thinking of growing younger as being like that at all. This is much more about the way we want to do things. It's about an invitation to every church, every school, actually, to start to consider how they might, if they want to, no one has to, but how they might, if they want to, be part of engaging with children and young people. And as I say, that might be everything, anything from, you know, starting a messy church, starting a new kind of youth engagement activity, through to saying there's no way we can do that, but we will commit in our intercessions every week to praying for our local school, where we know that, I mean, it may be a tiny local school, we're going to pray by name for the head teacher and we're going to pray for the children in that school. Now, and if we had every church, I honestly believe if every church in Cornwall was praying like that, well, we would see remarkable things happening, things that we're already hoping will happen and things that we haven't even imagined yet. It's not about we are going to do some things. I mean, we are going to do some things, but we want to do some things because we want to be a particular kind of church here in Cornwall, which is built on those five foundations that I spoke about earlier.
Excellent. And what can clergy, lay leaders and parishes expect are the next steps in the journey for growing younger?
Lots of clergy we're inviting to go on some training. That's going to happen this year, next year, and I hope the year after, to learn about some kind of ways of doing some of this kind of stuff in their own settings, whatever that might be. Lay leaders increasingly and clergy increasingly will be invited to take part in things if they want to. That might be, here's something that we'd love you to pray for or to be praying into. Or it might be, as we've already begun, there's a network now of people who work with children and young people and young adults across the diocese that we've met for the second time last week. So networks, and there will increasingly be resources available on the website.
Okay, excellent.
Oh, and sorry, one other thing. About to interview for a growing younger lead who will be working to equip, support, enable churches to be involved. So you can look forward to everyone can look forward to meeting whoever it is.
Whoever's appointed. Yeah. That's fantastic. So it's not just in Cornwall that we're doing this, not just in the Diocese of Truro. Can you tell us how it connects to what's going on in the church nationally?
Yeah. So the Church of England has said that its priority of priorities, if you can have such a thing, is to, in effect, grow younger. It's to find really creative, faithful, Anglican, holy ways of enabling children and young people to discover the astonishing truth that there is a God, that God loves them, has a purpose for them in their lives, and that if they partner with him and with other people who have said yes to that, well, then their church and they might go on and change the world. And that's going on right across the whole country in really practical ways, like the Project Flourish that we talked about. Yeah. And just in a kind of culture shift that I hope that people will be seeing all over the place. And we're part of that.
Yeah, but it sounds encouraging that actually it's happening in different ways in different places, so that it's attentive to local context rather than just being a kind of one-size-fits-all.
Yes, and we know there's no such thing as a church. There are only local churches which are all in a particular place, particular culture, particular context. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing about the Church of England, I mean, the really astonishing thing about the Church of England is we are in, I mean, almost literally every single community across England, and we're different in each of those. Mm-hmm. So we're both present and also local, I mean, properly local in, well, however many tens of thousands of places. And so if together we could start to engage with children, be intergenerational, if we could really start to ensure that children's voices are heard in all of those places, that would be remarkable, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So any final words that you'd like listeners to take away from this?
Well, I have to say, I bought this term, growing younger, back to our team meeting last week, and one of the people said, does that mean our attitude's got to grow younger? And I thought that was really refreshing, actually. Mm. So it's not just about, we're not going to replace you with younger people. That's not at all what it's about. And, you know, it's about joining everything up. And maybe attitudes do need to grow a bit younger. You know, but that's what Jesus has been telling us, hasn't he? You know, take things in a childlike way. You've got to accept this as a child accepts it. So I think, take the attitude, growing younger is an attitude, as well as a physical thing.
Brilliant.
That's lovely. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me today. Thank you for giving up your time and telling us more about growing younger and what that means to us in the diocese. So just to repeat, if you would like to find out more, please do have a look on our website. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to CMD Bite Size Podcasts, produced by the Diocese of Truro. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do follow and share. To listen to similar podcasts, please visit the Truro Diocese website. If there is a subject you would like us to include, please email us at ministry@truro.anglican.org.